Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This is FM 104's Strawberry Alarm Clock Podcast. Here we go. With Jim and Nobby.
It is the Strawberry Alarm Clock. It's FM 104. It's 12 minutes past 7, Friday morning.
Ed Sheeran has new music out today.
Yes, I've heard a little clip of it.
It's called Shivers.
Sounds good. It's an up-tempo one, you know.
Maybe I'll give it a listen to it in a few minutes.
People thought he might do that one, the kind of the sad one, as the next single.
But oh yeah,
I think that's just.
I think that'll be
track.
An album track, wasn't
yeah.
it? Yeah,
just getting people used to it. So it's Baby Joy for Fassbender. Irish actor Michael Fassbender's wife Alicia has confirmed she welcomed her first child earlier this year.
Earlier this year?
Yeah, she's in no rush.
I give out to people who announced like 2 weeks ago we had a baby. Earlier this year.
It's nobody's business.
Yeah, well, then don't bother telling anyone at all.
She's a Swedish actress, and she told a magazine that Michael Fassbender and herself are now parents.
He's two next week.
Well, she's known for being fiercely private. I really think that. I love when celebrities are private. I don't know anything about them. I love that.
Why didn't they just wait till one day they're snapped with an 18-year-old in the car?
I now have a whole new understanding of life in general. It's pretty beautiful, and obviously will give a lot to any of my work in the future. So anyway, I don't know what the... She's private. She's a very private person.
Oh, yeah. Mm. Very private. Private.
There's an asteroid heading around...
Come on.
Well, no, I don't know if it's heading for us, but it's the shape of a bone.
Oh, maybe dogs will like it.
Asterbia bone. Here's a site that would have stargazing dogs drooling. Stargazing dogs.
I'm not sure they can understand.
It's the shape of a bone. It's named Cleopatra. It's the space mass that orbits the sun between Mars and Jupiter.
Cleopatra's coming at you.
Well, it has two moons, this thing. It's so big. It's one of the most unusual objects in the solar system and seems spinning at an astonishing speed. These are the latest images of the 168-mile-long and 58-mile-wide asteroid that was first spotted in 1880. But they're getting decent pictures of it now.
So it's banging around since then.
Oh yeah,
I'd say it'd be alright. So.
I don't know if it's heading towards anyone. It's just spinning around.
Grand.
Anyway,
that's a relief.
It was taken by it's called the Very Large Telescope.
What?
There's a telescope in a desert, and it's called the Very Large Telescope.
That's the name of it.
Yeah, it took a picture of.
Did Stephen Kenny name it?
The Very Large Telescope.
Right, it's the All Ireland final this weekend.
Oh yeah. So who are you up for?
I saw some builders this morning. A lot of the builders around Dublin 1 area would be from Tyrone. I saw a lot of hoodies with the crest on it this morning.
Did you? Yeah.
Yeah. They're getting ready for war. The only thing is,
I'm cheering for Mayo.
No one's going to be hungrier than Mayo.
I just hope they do it. Think of all the people, you know. And they've been waiting years and
years. If they don't, they are the biggest bottlers that have ever existed.
Well, this is the chance. Now, because there's so much pressure on it for them to win, that can really, you know, go against you.
It's tough. It's tough with that pressure.
The National Television Awards, is it? The NTA's?
Anton Deck won again.
Anthony, so the Bruce Forsyth Entertainment Award went to I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here.
Right.
Line of Duty got Returning Drama.
Okay.
The Great British Bake Off got the Best Challenge Show.
That starts again soon.
Afterlife won comedy again.
Excellent.
That's three times. It's won every time. It's a Sin won for the new drama. Great show.
Yeah.
I never saw it, but I know everyone loved it.
Good, yeah.
Best Quiz Show.
Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
Beat the Chasers.
Oh.
Best daytime this morning. That means Phil and Holly will be pretending they're drunk this morning again.
Oh yeah.
Anton,
no, they don't work Fridays, Jim.
Huh?
They don't work Fridays.
Oh yeah, but they usually come in after when they win this.
Oh, do they come in anyway?
I think they come in.
Simply said,
yeah.
The people who they've asked to work Fridays with them.
They do this whole rigmarole where they come in with like the tuxedo.
We're still up.
And, oh god, yeah, yeah. Really,
oh.
Really, Phil. Really, Holly. Anyway, they won. Well done to them. Anton Deck won 20 times in a row. Best TV presenters.
I'd like to know who else was in their category.
Nobody'll ever beat that.
To really see. No, they won't. They won't.
Well, who cares who was in the category?
Just to see, in your own head.
I know, yeah. Well, it's got to be Mulhern, got to be Philip.
Maybe, yeah.
It's got to be like, Norton.
Happy enough with the judge's decision so far, anyway.
Jonathan Ross. Best talent show went to Strictly. TV performance went to David Tennant in Dez. That was a great performance.
Oh, yeah, he was very scary.
That was, if you've never seen that, oh, that's good. I think that's on the,
Virgin Media player.
The Virgin Media player. That's where I saw it. And best newcomer went to Jack Reardon. He's Sam in Carrie.
Don't know him.
The Line of Duty also got a special recognition award. Maybe it's a recognition for a show that had no ending.
Recognition for fecking off.
It was brilliant until the last two episodes. Here's a special recognition for that. Nobody's ever done that before. Most people wrap things up. Or left a cliffhanger. You didn't either.
The curse versus the virus.
Oh yeah,
I saw that in a pub. What pub was that on? I was going around on WhatsApp a couple of nights ago. Very funny. I know, I really would. I mean, look, Tyrone, in fairness as well, I've been there lots of times, but there's never been a Mayo and Tyrone final. And 50 whatever years it is. There was a priest during the week saying it's absolute rubbish, this curse.
So am I right in thinking the curse is, this is the curse as I have been told it. Mayo won back in 1952 or something. They won the All-Ireland. They're travelling back on the bus or the horses or whatever they were going back on.
Come packing horses.
And well, they were going back.
Oh dear!
In their coach or whatever it was.
Yeah, little Jackie in you.
And I'm only slagging. And giddy up.
Yahoo!
Anyway, they would have been enjoying themselves, right?
The horse swigging out of the Sam.
They came to a funeral cortege and they overtook it.
I think that's the rumor, yeah.
And there was three witches by the side of the road or something, and they said, "Right, as long as any member of that team are alive, you'll never win the All Ireland again." Kazam! That's the curse.
I think you may have added the witches bit in yourself, Jim.
Maybe I'm mixing up Macbeth. There was three witches at the side of the road, a big bubble, boiling trouble, all that. Yeah. Anyway, and that's the and there are still a couple of guys who are still alive from that team.
Yeah.
So the curse lives.
Mm-hmm.
Is that, am I right so far?
Well, yeah. If anyone's listening from Mayo, as they like to call us.
Am I right? There's a couple of gentlemen who are still with us from that 50s team. And they have had many chances and they could have won. They could have beaten Dublin a couple of times in finals.
Came very, very close. The replays and everything. Points in it.
Yeah.
And we're all happy to say how good that Dublin team was. So, yeah. You know, that shows you how good that Mayo team also can be.
So that'd be the best place on earth to be if they win. To be in Mayo this weekend if they win would
Kong
be the best.
Won't know what hit it.
Like, oh my god, it would just be a mess. It'd be like Italia 90 multiplied by 10.
There's only one of the men left who was on the team.
Only one lad left, okay.
Well god, it'll be emotional for him if you're watching it tomorrow. Yeah, I don't know what that pub was, the curse versus the virus.
That's very good.
Somewhere, not Dublin anyway, I think. Anyway, look, good luck to them. It's sport. Isn't it good to have it back?
Oh, the green and red of Mayo. Ooh, you're again, Mr. Shapiro now. Ooh, you've done it again. Shapiro's done it again. You're gonna get us a letter from my solicitors.
Does Ed Sheeran's new song Shiver sound like Artful Dodger moving too fast?
Ooh. Now this happens when musicians, sometimes they don't realise they're doing it, sometimes they do it on purpose. Like he did with Shape of You. No. The TLC song.
No, Scrubs.
And there was another one that was inspired by Lucy Pearl, and another one that was inspired by Van Morrison, and there was another one inspired by Marvin Gaye, and there was another one that was inspired by
7-year-old Ed Sheeran. Could be on a summer holidays in Wexford. Here's this song, right? You're not even thinking about it. It's a song that, like, I'd forgotten about this song until we thought of it, and then you go, Oh yeah, I know that song.
They all do this, by the way. Even the biggest names in the business, they're sponges. They get it all in, and then they go bleh, and it comes out as their own music, and it's like inspired by. It's a homage.
No, lads, it was in fact a priest that cursed the team. There was a funeral that the team bus, or horse and cart, laughy face, I think you made that bit up as well, Jim, didn't stop to allow the funeral to pass. So the priest set a curse upon them. I didn't think that was a priest kind of vibe.
Well, like, priests do whatever they want.
Christ loves everybody, no?
Because they do curses. They do curses now.
Jesus Christ.
No, that's the. I don't think they do. Well, like, not legitimate priests.
Mythological story. Like, I had witches. So,
it's not
like,
mythological story. It's only 50 something years ago.
I know, but like, there's no real curse. Some priest shook his fist going, yeah, Shara Bowsey's from Mayo.
The home of Grania Whale.
He may have said, I hope they never win again. And people said, right, that's a curse. He's after cursing them. Yeah, that's probably what happened.
Maybe.
Rather than a priest with like, you shall not pass.
Jeez, Jim, what's in the coffee this morning?
I haven't had any coffee.
All right.
It's all water.
Okay. Holy water, is it?
Will be.
Right. Okay, so let us tell you a bit more of what's happening today, okay?
FM 104's Mind Your Noggin. Still to come.
So a little bit later on this morning, we will be checking in with Glenn Power, who's currently, he's hopping towards a flight. I think the script are off to Romania today. So they must be doing some gigs over there.
Yeah, we'll also be talking to Tom Grennan. He's on his way to rehearsals in London this morning, but he is going to Zoom in with us and chat to us about how he looks after himself.
We're going to have a really interesting chat with Brezzy, who quite a few years ago decided he was going to do some third level stuff and kind of step away from music for a little while. And he studied in this area of mental health, and that's where his podcast came about from. We were chatting to him.
He's a wise man, and he's you know, he's a clever guy, and he has a lot of good things to say about this.
And Mike Mansfield, who's the director of communications at Jigsaw, I think just listening to Mike's chat will make everyone feel just a little bit more open to the idea of, if they do need a little bit of help, to reach out.
Absolutely.
If you want to donate, you can now on our website, f104.ie/donate. Whatever you have, big, small, it doesn't matter, but it does help. So if you can, please do. And we'll be chatting to all those people before 10 a.m. this morning.
So he has a box at Man City. He's one of the biggest Man City fans in the world. He gets a request from a Man United player
via his missus.
And here's what Noel Gallagher did.
I went in my office one day and there was a 1970s Gibson Les Paul in a case, and I looked at it and I thought, maybe that's one of mine. I may have bought that drunk when I've been out on it, and it's arrived. And one of the girls said, oh, someone sent that to sign. They sent a letter. So I opened the envelope and this rambling letter, and it's from Colleen Rooney saying, it's Wayne's 21st. He's a huge fan. Be great if you could sign it for him. And I was like, you cheeky f***. What? So I took all the parts off it. Got my mate who's a decorator to dip it in sky blue emulsion paint. Wait for it to dry. Put all the parts back on it. Graffitied it with quite questionable Man City songs, and sent it back to him with a letter saying, "Happy birthday, SpongeBob."
SpongeBob.
It's a bit presumptuous sending the guitar first.
Yeah, sending the guitar. Here, sign this.
Sign this.
But like, said, like, and I...
It's Wayne's birthday.
Knowing, like, what a passionate Man City fan thing is. That's
love
lovely.
That man.
That's
Anton juicy. Deck won again at the NTAs.
Anton Deck!
Thank you very, very much indeed. We were talking in the car on the way here, and the first year we won a national television award, Tony Blair was the Prime Minister, and Newcastle United qualified for the Champions League. That just goes to show how long ago that was.
Since then, but one thing that hasn't changed is how unbelievably grateful we are that you take time year after year to vote for us and put us up here. We are so honoured and humbled and grateful, so thank you. As Anne says, it means the absolute world. So
we've got the best jobs on telly. We really have. And please keep watching the shows, because we love making them. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Cheers.
I do like the takeaway. The takeaway is great, crack.
Ah, they're great. They're great.
This morning won NTA for Best Daytime Show. Here's Phil and Holly.
And the winner is...
guys massively, massively proud of this morning and our team and our family, but the last 18 months has been a tough one for all of us. And what was amazing for us was that every single day we, because of the brilliance of ITV and the brilliance of our daytime team, we could stay on air and we could be there. And we felt like we were sort of everyone's comfort blanket, because the most important thing was that for us, for our heads, all of our heads, you were our comfort blanket. We were all in it together.
Fair play.
I was on Zoom, Philip. Sorry, I didn't see you. Joel Dommett was the host, so it's normally Dermot. I don't know why he was busy.
Oh.
But he was busy.
Well, he is one of the hosts of this morning as well, on Fridays.
Maybe that's why. Maybe you'd be too tired. Anyway, that is Dish the Dirt for now.
Dublin's F104, it is the Strawberry Alarm Clock, and we can now link up with our good friend Brezzy. He's a musician. He is a podcaster. Trust him, trust him. Yes, we do. He's not a doctor.
You have a doctorate.
He has the. Are you a doctor? Technically a doctor.
No, I got a fellowship. I didn't get the doctors.
Trust him. He's got a fellowship.
Nearly.
Doesn't have the same ring to it. Too many syllables.
And, as you say yourself, you're not. Nobody's overqualified in these things, but you have a keen interest in all things mental health and looking after yourself.
Yeah, I went through a pretty interesting 15-year journey with my own mental health, and that kind of led me back into studying it as much as I could and understanding the cultural aspects of it, and then, you know, from the kind of mindfulness aspects of it, what you can actually do rather than constantly look at what I couldn't do. I started to look at what I could, and that's what led me back into studying and setting up Lust for Life, because I've always been solution focused. I'm not problem admiration society. There's problems there. We know there's problems in the system. We know there's problems in societal stigmas. We know all this stuff, but either we keep saying it or we actually figure out ways to tackle it. And that's what I was hoping to do with a Lust for Life when we set it up. And now we're in 300 primary schools. We will be in every primary school by 2023. And that was what I set out to do at the start, was use our incredible education system to teach young people how to navigate this stuff.
What do you wish, if you had a little snippet of what you're hoping to spread around schools, what do you wish you had in primary school?
I think the first thing young people need is the language to describe this stuff. When I was young, when we were young lads, and we were always told not to be sad, not to be scared, not to be anxious when you were children. These are core emotions. You should feel those things, and you should explore them and talk about them. You can't push them away. You can't outrun them. And then as we get older, we get really confused with these emotions. We're like, oh, I feel sad, but I shouldn't feel sad, because everyone should feel happy and do cartwheels up the meadow every day. Sadness and suffering, as tough as it is part of life. It's just part of the journey. And I think young kids should be told that early on. Not that you're going to walk into primary schools and go, hey kids, suffering is part of life. You know, yeah, there's ways of doing this, and there's evidence-based programs. And with young kids, it's language, so they can describe and talk to their parents how they're feeling. But then there's young kids out there who don't have that support at home either. So there's all these different aspects that we looked at. Also, teachers need to understand that they have enough to do. You know, what we wanted to develop is the programs, the solutions where teachers aren't taking on anymore. Teachers have one of the most difficult jobs in this society, and they should be celebrated as such. Healthcare professionals and teachers are the two most important groups, I feel, in our society. And we just want to help them. We want to make sure that this works for them as much as it works for the kids.
And for people listening now this morning, like for younger people listening, you know, you're very successful, you're a rock star. If they were feeling anxious this morning, what little piece of advice would you give to people to try and combat those feelings?
I think the most important thing is to express them, is to find a way to express them. These are normal human reactions. Anxiety, as uncomfortable as it is something that we need to stay alive. It keeps us alive. It keeps us on our toes, gets us out of bed in the morning. It prepares us for things. It's a really brilliant trait that we have. And sometimes it gets a little bit out of control and uncomfortable and difficult. It did for me for many years. But the most difficult part for me, guys, was I didn't know how to express it. I always talk about this. When I first experienced panic disorder, I was 13 years of age. I came back from Israel, where I lived with my parents for, you know, there was complete peace in the Middle East for 15 years until the day the Breslins landed in Tel Aviv and the 9-day war started. So I was completely overwhelmed by this, and I came home and I started experiencing this panic disorder, and I didn't know what it was. I thought I had asthma, all this kind of stuff. And then I'll never forget to the day I died when Kurt Cobain died, who was my hero, and many kids, my heroes at my age. And I asked the teacher at the time, Christian Brother, what happened, and he punched my desk and called him a coward. And I always thought to myself, that was my mental health education. How could I have been any other way, you know? And I don't want kids to have to go through that again. And that is why we do that work with Adults for Life. But what I will say to kids is this is uncomfortable. It isn't nice, but it is normal. And it's a human response that keeps us connected. What you got to find is a way to deal with it. And everybody has their own subjective ways of dealing with anxiety. Some people like going for a walk. Some people like meditating. Some people hate meditating. Some people, you know, need a bit more support, maybe need therapy. Maybe there's other things there that have happened in their life that have been traumatizing. And that doesn't have to be the big stuff. It could be simple. You know, it could be a teacher that said the wrong thing to you. It's all that stuff. You know, human psychology is, I always say it's really complex, but human needs aren't. We need to feel connected, we need to feel loved, and we need to feel safe. And if we can look at how we do that, you know, and then you look at things like in you know, I just had the Ombudsman for Children on the podcast this week, Dr. Niall Muldoon, one incredible gentleman, and telling me how many kids are homeless in this country. How are they ever going to feel safe? How are they ever going to feel connected? You know, they're in trouble from day one. And that's why these things are so important. If you don't have foundations for children, it becomes very difficult for them to grow up. Not, you know, some kids do great and are fine, but some don't. And we can't let any kid behind. And that's ultimately what we're trying to do here. And without going into that political, this isn't about politics or being left or right or whatever. This is about people. And I just don't believe a country with the economic strength of Ireland should ever have homelessness with children. And I think the one thing I always say to people, from somebody, my background, academic background, was actually economics. I understand it. I'm not an idealistic guy and just says, listen, you know, we should all just live off nothing. But the reality is economics is a really blunt instrument to judge a society. If you want to really judge a society, look at how we treat our most vulnerable people. And we're not doing a good enough job here. And that's, you can't spin that. It's just the facts are there. So that's the way we do this work. Mental health, the most important thing I've ever been taught with my mentor, Dr. Paul Dalton, said, equality is the best form of therapy. If you can drive for a more equal society with less discrimination, with less power imbalances, we can start to see people, you know, who might have grown up in otherwise difficult homes or whatever that might be, are not accessed to the right supports. We can change that. That is within our capacity as a country.
I think what you say there, whatever that might be, and that's so important today with what we're doing with Jigsaw. I asked one of the counsellors, is there any common theme? And he said, no, everyone's journey is different. Everyone has different reasons why they'll need to talk to somebody.
It totally is. And my partner, actually, and actually the guy I work with most on the podcast, Dr. Tony Bates, is a founding member of Jigsaw, Headstrong, as it was known as first.
Yeah.
And he says that. He goes like, Niall, this isn't about, everyone's journey is different. We all respond differently to different things. You know, there is trauma can often complicate things, no doubt about it. But the difficulty I had growing up, and when I started to do a bit of homework on my own head and going to therapy, I had this quite abusive primary school. You know, a lot of us might remember the 80s and 90s where, you know, there were still issues in primary schools where teachers were still hitting kids. And I remember in my school, it was very prevalent. And going into school every day and not feeling safe, every single day going in. And it wasn't just me, it was all of us, which was probably easier. But I remember saying to my therapist, he goes, course that impacts you. Because once again, the basic need of any child is to feel safe. Safety, safety, safety. A child should be able to feel safe. And the thing in Ireland is we've made huge progress there. We, you know, you look at our education system. And what was quite emotional for me was when I was doing this work with the schools, to see the care teachers take now over their students, to see the unbelievable empathy and compassion teachers have towards their students compared to what we had. You know, that's going to have such huge impact in this generation. And we always talk about this generation are going to have more problems. I don't know if they are. I just don't know, because they're surrounded by more support. We have the language. They're able to express themselves now. There's programs in schools. Yes, there's more things to contend with, more issues, social media, all that kind of stuff. But young people are now knowing that this is a conversation that they can have. We didn't know that. And that's what, for me personally, did an awful lot of the damage.
How are you now, Brizzy?
I'm great. Like, I mean, I'm like, this is the thing, like, because the pandemic is, you know, I almost don't believe in my labeling myself as, you know, whatever I went through. I was diagnosed with like general anxiety disorder at 22 years of age or 25 years of age. And I kind of think, did I even need that label? I didn't know if I did. But like the pandemic, like everybody knocked me for dead. And then I went through this process of kind of going, and this is what happens when you've done years of training and years of therapy. It doesn't make it any easier, but you start to rationalize it. You start to go, this is a perfectly normal response to a pandemic. You can't see your loved ones. You can't, you know, integrate with community and society. You can't do the things you love to do. You can't go, you know, and have a release and go for a holiday. Yet, you know, in our case, for example, or even our industry, we had financial concerns, all that other stuff. And it all came in like a perfect storm. I moved home, lived with my parents, who I was terrified for, cocooned them for 16 months. And I said to myself, of course, this doesn't feel good. This is not nice. This is horrible. But the one thing I've taken from it is that I don't see this as the last year. I see it as a year that we've all really, really gained huge levels of strength. Not, I don't like the word resilience, because that either means you have it or you don't. I just think this lived experience that we've all gone through, and no matter how tough it was, in the words of Elton John, we're still standing. Maybe we're a little tougher than we think we are. Maybe we are a little bit, you know, we all have that inner dog in us that we had to bring out over the last 12 months. I did. We all did. But we still did it. It didn't mean it was nice. It did not mean it was easy. But we did it. And I think that's what I want, the message I want to get out to people. Rather than going, you know, it's all going to be a mess, I'm like, well, maybe we all should recognize how strong we were. That sometimes we say things like strength, people perceive that it shouldn't have been hard. That's not what strength is. Strength is when things are really, really hard and you're able to carry it through and you're able to deal with it and you're still able to kind of function. Because there was moments throughout that pandemic where just getting out of bed was a thing you had to do. And you know, that was it. And some people had to work really hard. Some didn't have any work at all. We all had different journeys.
And if anything from the last 8 months or beyond has left you feeling that you still need a bit of help, I think that's so important today. And whether you're that person who needs it or you're in a good place, you know, maybe work was, you were lucky the last 12 months plus and you want to help today, you can go to f104.ie/donate, because all of Jigsaw's services are free and the donations will help their services continue and actually grow, because that's what you're talking about, schools. What they want to do is get into more areas around Dublin and have a presence.
And can I just say, Martin, that like I, as somebody who you know, co-founded a charity and understands the work you have to do for it, Jigsaw, I don't know where we'd be without them. I mean that truthfully. You know, I always say it's not our jobs to be picking up.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The pieces of a dysfunctional system are a fact that, you know, government haven't prioritized mental health enough. Without the likes of Jigsaw's and the other charities that have just done work that I don't think anyone will fully realise. And that's the big thing for Jigsaw. I would love to see Jigsaw have the funding to be able to go to everywhere across the country, every community they can get into, because their model of how they work and how they treat and how they support is the type of model I think that should be integrated into our health system itself. And that's an important thing to say about Jigsaw. We need them in more communities. because they do unbelievable work that it's kind of hard to fully explain to people until you see it in action.
Well, Brezzy, after the year and a half that you've had, we just wish you all the best, and we hope to see you rocking out with the Blizzards, rocking out with all your music and touring your podcasts and making up for all those gigs that you haven't had, unfortunately. Yeah. Haven't had. We hope that all happens for you soon.
We will. We'll make up for it, lads.
Just remind everyone, Brezzy, if people have been inspired by some of what you've been saying, I always find it's always interesting to chat to you. Where can people get your podcast? What's the name of it?
I have two podcasts. One is called Where's My Mind? It's a weekly podcast. And I have a double daily podcast, Wake Up, Wind Down on Spotify, for those of you who want to explore meditation and mindfulness without the overwhelm and without the confusion. It's simple. Let's not complicate this stuff. We need a little bit of space in our day. That's all it is. And that's all I'm trying to achieve with it.
Brezzy, great Cheers, talking guys. To you. Thanks for talking to us this morning.
Respect.
Anytime. Take care.
10 questions.
60 seconds.
€1,000.
FM 104's Instagram.
With MissQuote.ie car insurance. Empowering Irish women every day. Visit MissQuote.ie.
We have another teacher.
Hello, teacher.
Morning, Mike. Hello, how are you?
Mike, the teacher. We've lots of teachers love playing Instagram. Is it because you learn so much from listening to the quiz?
That's it, yeah.
No, it's because they have so much knowledge to begin with, isn't it?
Yes.
Teachers know everything.
I don't know about that.
Some of these questions.
I'll answer that question in a few minutes.
Some of these questions aren't on the syllabus.
You'll be grand, Mike. You'll be grand.
You'll be grand. I think do you ever get a 10, Mike?
I got a 10, I think, Monday. I was raged and I didn't get through Monday. I was like, oh... But then a couple of 6, 7 and 8 during the week. So right, hopefully today.
We have a big shiny donate button on our website if you do win. Right, here we go. Good luck.
Best of luck.
Thank you.
The game starts in 3, 2, 1.
What college is nearest College Green in Dublin?
Trinity.
What is the name of eating utensils that are shaped pairs of equal length?
Sorry, can you say that again?
What's the name of eating utensils that are shaped pairs of equal length?
Chopsticks.
Which member of the Simpsons family has twin sisters?
Marge.
Who is the host of TV game show The Chase?
Bradley Walsh.
True or false, pseudo cream was invented in Cabra?
True.
What is the name of the rainbow? What colour of the rainbow that starts with the letter I?
Indigo.
Who is older, Westlife Shane Filan or golfer Shane Lowry?
Shane Filan.
Who had a 2017 hit with 24 Karat Magic?
Bruno Mars.
What Premier League football manager has recently stopped wearing his famous glasses?
Oh, Jurgen Klopp.
And Nutgrove and Ballyboden are parts of what area of Dublin?
Oh god, Nutgrove.
Tala.
Oh dear. Mike, you did very, very, very well.
Oh Mike, the hardest. Trinity College, Chopsticks, Marge Simpson, Bradley Walsh. I wrote that Bradley Cooper. Pseudocream was invented in Cabra.
An Irish man invented it.
Yeah.
And now it's been sold, I think.
And they changed the name. It used to be Soother Cream, and then because of the Dublin accent, Pseudocream.
Pseudocream.
They changed it to Pseudo. It's Pseudocream is the correct pronunciation, apparently.
Thanks, Jim.
Thank you. Indigo.
Shane Filan is a good bit older than Shane Lowry. Shane Lowry is 34. Shane Filan is 42.
Bruno Mars, 24 Karat Magic. What a banger.
I know what you're doing there, Jim. You're trying to put that song in everyone's head for
Trouble not to carrot magic in the air.
Jurgen Klopp has stopped wearing glasses.
And Mike.
No way, we're at Nutgrove.
Rat Farnham.
Oh no. That is so close.
So close is right. We just thought this guy's like I was doing the cucaracha over here. This guy's gonna get 10.
90%. 90%. Sorry.
No.
No, that'll do.
It's an A plus.
Yeah,
it is.
No
thanks
shame.
For having to go, Mike.
No shame, Mike.
No
enjoy
problem,
the weekend.
No problem. Thanks for my help.
Right.
You too.
Take care.
Dublin's up in the 4. It is the Strawberry Alarm Clock, and we can now zoom into London to talk to one of our favourite artists. It has to be said, He's on his way to rehearsals because he's gigging again. And the last time we spoke to him, he was on ice. But now he's on his way back. Tom Grennan, good morning.
Good morning, good morning. How are you doing? It's good to hear an Irish accent.
Yeah, man, it looks sunny in London this morning.
Yes.
Jesus, it's roasting in London today.
Well, you join us on F104's Mind Your Noggin Day, which is a really important day, and we're so delighted you could give us a few minutes today. Jim actually touched on it. When we last spoke to you, you were trying to move house, your neighbours were doing your head in, you know, there were no gigs, it was all very hopeful. Now that you're coming out of that mentally, are you in a better place?
Oh my gosh, completely. I've moved house now, I've got no more annoying neighbours, and yeah, life feels like it's coming back to normal, gigs again, and yeah, just everything's good, everything feels good, and just can't wait to get over there now. I haven't been to Ireland for nearly a year and a half, so looking forward to getting over there and doing gigs, seeing family, and you know,
we keep mentioning that when you do finally get to play Ireland, it's just gonna go off for you. I mean, your music is so popular here.
Yeah, I feel like it's gonna, all my cousins keep messaging me saying, you're on the radio again, you're on the radio again. I'm like, listen, you're gonna have to stop messaging me, you're blowing up my phone.
Yeah.
They must listen to F104.
Yeah, they listen to you all the time. Yeah, they love it. They love it. But no, I'm looking forward to getting over there, and it's like you say, I do feel like it's probably gonna be a bit mad gig wise for me over there, but I can't wait.
It's gonna be great. On Mind Your Noggin Day, Tom, we need to ask you about how you look after your own self. You know, you're in the spotlight, you're in the, you know, a very stressful industry. How do you look after yourself with that?
How do I look after myself? Mate, exercise is now my new, like, thing that keeps me mentally stable and really, like, on the road for kind of just feeling good and also just feeling healthy. And I think that's key. When doing what I kind of do, like, having to be here and everywhere, just staying mentally focused and mentally fit is hard. And I've been in situations where, Jesus, I've lost my head a few times. But since doing exercise and keeping fit, honestly, it's changed my life. And I start the morning off every morning with a Tom shake as well. Just if I'm feeling a bit like negative or feeling just a bit like I can't be bothered to do anything, I just shake it all off and start again.
I thought that was some kind of smoothie that you'd...
Sounds like, isn't it?
A Tom shake. Oh, I'm going to ask you what's in that. Bananas, avocado.
And we can... I only imagine when your job is to, you know, let all this pent-up energy out on stage and you haven't been able to do that, that must have been incredibly difficult, not being able to do what you're so used to doing.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I've got so much energy, so when locked in the house and not being able to do it, like, I had to shift that into something else. And listen, I stopped drinking, stopped smoking through lockdown, and really focused in on putting my energy somewhere positive, and that's what I did. And I put it into exercise and also it changed my writing as well. Like, my musical, like, brain shifted and I felt like I got better as well, you know.
Wow. Okay, well, that's definitely a positive thing. If you do want to get involved today, you can go to f104.ie/donate. Tom, we're obviously playing a new song as well, but I don't know, you choose, but A Little Bit of Love, which is what everyone also needs. We need that connection with humans. We need, which one should we play?
I'd say play A Little Bit of Love, but also if you can, play the new single, Don't Break the Heart as well.
Okay,
do the
deal.
Double.
Okay, double Tom, a double Tom shake.
Double bubble Tom.
Love
shake,
it.
Let's do it.
Exactly. Nice one, lads.
Great to talk to you.
Good to see you back.
Mind your noggin.
Cheers, man. Have a good one.
Thanks, Tom.
Good luck.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Dublin's F104, it is the Strawberry Alarm Clock, and we can now speak to Director of Communications and Fundraising at Jigsaw, Mike Mansfield. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good to talk
good.
To you. Thanks for
you
taking
too,
it on.
You too. Not at all. An exciting day ahead.
It is. It's such a big day for us. Such a big day for Jigsaw.
That's amazing. I think the buzz just in our own organisation over the last couple of weeks building up to today is huge. Mind Your Noggin last year was so impactful, so important. I think today is going to be the same. So we're buzzing. We're really looking forward to it.
Yeah. And for anybody who's driving around now and they think, I want to donate, I'll do it later. Don't forget. Okay. Make sure you don't forget.
We know where you live.
Okay. I hear you. Yeah, no, look, at days like today, they're really important because it's a massive opportunity for us as a city to come together and have conversations around our mental health, around minding each other, looking after ourselves, But also for us, it's so important in terms of raising really important income. Last year, over 23 grand was raised, and that's huge for an organization like yourselves. This year, we're so keen to break that because we need it. We're trying to do a huge amount of work in Jigsaw across Dublin, but also across the country and online and in clubs and schools and communities across the country. But all our services are free. All our teams are fully professional people. So we rely on generosity. We rely on, you know, mams and dads and brothers and sisters. So if you are driving around, guys, I'd say pull over really quickly, fm104.ie/donate, and give whatever you can, because it's hugely important to us.
It's safe to do so. That's what they always say, and all the best.
Exactly. Pull over.
You're not directly involved in the other side of how Jigsaw work, but I'm sure you've been in meetings and you've heard stories. How does someone know that they need to get a bit of help with something that their own head to try and deal with it just...
Look, it's a really good question, but it's massively personal and individual. And I suppose if you're not 100% sure, if you do need, just contact us and find out. We often talk about, and some of my colleagues who would be on the front line dealing directly with young people, they often talk about the difference between what would be like deemed a clinical crisis, something that's, you know, really kind of clinically a crisis or a need. But then match with that is kind of a personal crisis. So it can really vary from somebody who's having just really not feeling themselves, having an off couple of days and weeks, somebody who might have broken up, finding it tough, not setting in at school, just not really finding their own rhythm, kind of struggling with the whole thing. And that's absolutely fine. That's where, reach out to us, give us a holler, go on to jigsaw.ie. There's loads of opportunities to get support that you need. So we see a real mix of young people come to us with a real mix of challenges and problems. And every single young person that comes to us comes with a different story, a different background, different challenges. And we'd always say, don't be worrying if you think, oh, this is grand, I really shouldn't reach out and you know, they're really busy. Just do, because it's massively important. We're here for you to try and help as best we can.
Nothing's too small to, you know.
Yeah, this idea of saying, oh, you know, it's only that I got broke up and my mom and dad are at me and I can't sit in and I'm getting bullied. That's when, you know, come to us, have a chat. We'll try and work with you and try to find ways to help you with that, because it's tough. You know, it is increasingly, it can be really tough for young people. And then you throw in COVID, you throw in our changing world, you throw in what's happening in loads of different aspects. And it is difficult. There's a huge amount of expectation on our young people at the moment. And that can be really pressurized and pressurizing, and having a space like yourselves, maybe to give you a hand to depressurize, can be really useful. And that's what we're here for, you know.
I think even compared to last year, because last year when we were doing this back in May 2020, like the world in many ways was on freeze. So yeah, it wasn't that, it was like there was a huge amount of people who didn't have a job. Since then, figures, you know, particularly under 25s, massive unemployment. Maybe you've put in the hours in college. Now, the field you've qualified in at third level, there isn't a job there. Have you noticed that kind of?
We have. I mean, certainly kind of go back to, as you say, when it was in freeze about this time last year, I think the number is about 67% of young people who were employed in, you know, casual labor, retail, hospitality, that was gone. And with that is taking a huge amount. Obviously, financial independence is gone because you literally, you've no money in your back pocket, but also opportunities to connect and engage with people and be out and about, and just having that sort of independence was taken away from you. Now, what we're seeing is we sort of re-emerge from this and we start to go back to quote unquote normality, get back into schools and colleges. There is definitely a bit of that sort of fear for the future bit is becoming prominent in the conversations we're having with young people. It's around, well, I, you know, as you say, I've worked my, you know, whatever off here. I've done everything I'm supposed to do. And now I'm going to enter out into a world that is, you know, changed and different, and the opportunities that might have been there a couple of years maybe aren't. And look, that is absolutely valid and absolutely fine to have. But I think as we reemerge from this, I think we are seeing there is an anxiety about that reemergence. How am I going to settle back in? How am I going to fit back in? You know, make or maintain or reestablish new relationships? What is college going to be like? Because actually, I found a comfort zone in the Zoom college experience. So and also just kind of social, you know, social meetups and hangouts with mates and peers and colleagues. So that's going to be challenging. And we are seeing that. We are seeing young people who are kind of struggling with that kind of social reintegration and that fit. How do I fit back into this new thing? So look, at that's, you know, day in, day out, hour in, hour out. That's the sort of stuff that we try and help the young people navigate and help them fit, help them find that fit, I suppose, which is really important.
Mike, for people who've come through the other side of the process, what kind of feedback have you got from, just to encourage people to use Jigsaw as a service, what feedback have you got back of how you help them?
I look at it's hugely positive. I mean, it takes a bit of guts and a bit of bravery for a young person to contact a service like yourselves. They may have reached out to a friend or a brother or sister or mom or dad, but for many they haven't. So a lot of the conversations they've had have been with themselves. So the first time that they come to one of our services, be it one of our physical services across the country or our digital services, a big step. But what we hear is, as soon as I crossed the threshold, there was a sense of relief. As soon as they entered into that process with themselves, began to tell somebody else what they were going through, things began to make a bit more sense. Things began to get a bit more clearer. And then as they work with us over, and there's a number of different ways we work with young people, but if they work with us over a period of a couple of weeks, the feedback we get is hugely positive. So we ask them, do you feel in a better way than you did? And 98% say yes. Would you recommend us to others? 96% said yes. So the numbers, the data tells us that coming to an organization like yourselves, speaking out and asking for help makes a difference. That's what's really important. If it doesn't, we're not doing our job right. And what we have across the country is really a group of an amazingly committed people who massively value young people and who are really there to try and support them navigate the choppy waters that is being young in Ireland today. So we are making a difference, and that's why people donating and giving whatever they can over the course of the day can make a huge difference, so that we can continue to kind of roll out the supports and services that are kind of really needed and really important.
Very good. And for those people who are thinking, oh, I'll get around to that later. Next time you have a minute and you're on social media and you're surfing through whatever it is, remember this conversation. Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, you even have a calming effect, but you can't overstate it. It's free to use this service.
Yeah.
The money that, you know, makes it all happen is from donations. So f104.ie/donate, swipe up on all the links on our social channels. Mike, thank you. So, I mean, it's from our perspective, it's so lovely to be associated with you guys. So thank you.
No, lads, and look at yourselves from day one, not just this year, but last year, you guys in particular, you've been huge supporters of us and all your colleagues. I wish you an amazingly cool day, because it's right across the station. It's all day. And again, just to reiterate to your listeners, thanks so much for listening. Thanks for helping. And if you can at all, fm104.ie/donate, every single cent that you invest in us will be spent as effectively and efficiently and as leanly as possible. I can absolutely give that commitment. So anything you can give at all will be absolutely fantastic.
Mike Mansfield from Jigsaw, thank you very much.
Thanks, Mike.
Dublin's FM104, it is the Strawberry Alarm Clock, and we call them, You might know him as Glenn Power, but we call him Glenn Powerful because last year on Mind Your Noggin Day, he gave us a chat about mental health in general and looking after yourself and having plenty of cups of tea. And he was just brilliant.
The tea, forgot about that.
Glenn, good morning.
Good morning, boys. How are you keeping? Are you well?
Good. Well, first of all, we'd just like to say it's great to know that you're in an airport and the Script are gigging this weekend. So that's,
I know,
for you,
I know,
guys,
it's funny.
Great.
Like, yeah, the machine is back in operation. I'm back on the treadmill, or the mouse wheel, should I say. It just keeps turning. No, just I'm very grateful to be out in population and in an airport at all. We're going to Romania. I'm sitting here now in Heathrow. We're flying to Frankfurt and then from there to Romania. And we have a gig on Saturday night, rather large first gig back, which is going to be just the way I like it. Just get out there and jump in the middle of it and let go. That's what you have to do. I saw a great interview with Anthony Hopkins. He's one of my heroes. And they say to him, you know, they were asking about his preparation for his acting parts and stuff. And he said, I don't put expectation on the result. The result is none of my business. My business is prepare. And then there are times, occasionally when I'm working, when some magic arrives. But if it comes or doesn't come, it's nothing to do with me. And I don't try and force it. And I really love that idea. So it's very much the same way with music. You can prepare all your life, but until you get out in front of actual people and have all them eyes on you, that's a different skill set than sitting in a room rehearsing with your mates. Do you know what I mean? So you just have to let go of expectation, and you have to say, okay, I'm playing a long time. I'm human. You might drop a stick. You might miss a beat. You might miss an ending. But, you know, even if you do or you don't, you're there. and you're open and you're surrendering to the moment and you're trying to be as best as you can. And I think I got a lot of that from his talk. It was brilliant. It's on YouTube. He was just out having a walk one day and he ended up in a college and they asked him, will you do a talk? And he just randomly grabbed the mic and said, yeah, no problem. And all the students started to pitch questions on him, and it was fun. The man is full of wisdom, grace, humility, confidence, but in the right way. Do you know what I mean?
Mm. Yeah, and it's interesting you say that, because I think that preparation is, if we take that end result of a great day in work being everyone wants to feel happy in life, but if to get to that, if you're not quite there, days like today that we're trying to just raise awareness for are so important.
Well, you know, there's one very interesting thing. I'm still reading books since I last spoke to you, but there's a great thing I read that said, just because you're busy running around the place doing loads of things doesn't mean you're getting lots done. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
So you can be actually running yourself crazy trying to think that I'm doing all these things and all these, and there's nothing actually really happening, you know?
Yes.
When you could actually probably cut that time in half and spend time with your family, or spend time with yourself, someone said something quite profound to me the other night. I've got great friends here in London. And he turned around and said, you know, there's two of the hardest things in life are, number one, spending time with yourself, and number two, spending time with others. And I just thought, oh my God, that's so true. And I was like, oh yeah, I can be by myself, I'll read a book. Or, you know, he was like, no, by yourself, Glenn. Not reading a book. Or not doing music. Because when I'm doing music, I'm not really by myself, I'm with the muse. Do you know what I mean?
Mm. Yes.
So I think it's important to try and get to grips with that. And one of the things I did during lockdown, I'm sure loads of people did, it really helped me deal with it, was walk every night, 6 o'clock, like a route, like an alarm would go off and I'd be like, oh, jacket on, out the door. Rain, winds, didn't matter what the weather was. I'd go out there and do about 10K every night.
And that kind of helped you just decobweb?
Yeah, that and the audiobooks. I was listening to Dwayne Dyer, All About Taoism. I found that really interesting, just to go with the flow of things and to just allow stuff, you know. And also then I saw there's another great quote I saw. It said, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. Which is so interesting, because I really believe that 3 to 5 people that are connected to you the closest have a big influence and impact on your head and your mental way of thinking and what you feel on a day-to-day basis. So you have to ask yourself, who am I connected to? Also, what am I letting into my head? This is where memes, I think, can be detrimental. I think WhatsApp should have a feature, and I really mean this, that you can say, no memes, please, and no one can send you anything, because I've opened stuff up on my phone and I didn't know what it was and it was not good. And I'm just like, you know what? I don't need to look at that. It's like in that Dwayne Dyer book about devils and stuff, he's like, protect what you let into the garden of your mind. You're putting seeds in there and stuff grows. So I try to watch that now. I try to not look at too much social media stuff, and I try to just step back from all that. I have a lot, and I just think that I don't think our brains were designed to have all of that information. And it's so easy when you lie down at night time, I'll just check my phone, and suddenly now you're in another world, or another 50 worlds of something that's going on in the world, and you're in your bedroom and now it's all in your head. And I really believe that's not good for your head at night time, to be looking at stuff like that and scrolling through Instagram and Twitter. And it's tough, you know. And I think you need to learn how to compartmentalize some of that part of your life. You know, you don't drive your car all day every day. You do. You use it to go to work and then you come home, but you don't go back and sit in the car with the engine on.
Unless it's really nice. But yeah.
Glenn, yeah. It must be great having you in the band, because when you're travelling and you get the stresses of the tour and everything, and then you've got, you know, your words of wisdom always there. Do you look after the lads, do you?
Yeah, we all look after each other, to be honest. I mean, I think it's a reciprocal thing. We've all been there for each other throughout the years. I wouldn't even say words of wisdom. I mean, I know nothing, to be honest with you. I read. Anything I know now is from pain and experience. That's all. I was even reluctant to talk because I really don't know anything. I just know stuff I've read from books. And when I have a problem in my life, I know there's always someone that's had it before, because, you know, there's nothing new under the sun, as it says in the Bible. This has all happened before and it's all going to happen again. So whatever I'm going through has probably happened already and someone has written a book about it. And 9 times out of 10, I'm right. When I go looking, I go, ah, there we go. Now I can find out what this is and deal with it. I think for your mental health, I think connection is of vital importance. I probably said this last time, isolation is the killer. It's when you start to insulate yourself and not talk to your friends and not talk to your family and sit in a room on your own and you narrow down that your own world, I think you're left with your own head. And our minds are amazing, and our imaginations even more so. You know, Einstein is the guy that said imagination is more important than knowledge. There's a two-edged sword to that. Your mind will create scenarios and stories and tell you all these lies that aren't true. And if you're in a bad space, you know, what we focus on becomes amplified. I probably said that before as well, but it does. And if you're focused on, as I say, negative stuff, you're looking at weird stuff coming down your phone and memes, you're looking at stuff on Instagram that's making you feel insecure about yourself, you have a choice in what you allow into your sphere. If you're like a, you know, a planet walking around with a gravity field, that gravity field, you control that. You could say, nah, I'm not going to let that in. And I think it's really important to take a look at that. Also, I think as well, what helps propel you forward is a goal. And we all need goals. And the bigger the goal, the bigger the chances that you'll start to make steps towards it. I normally, like over lockdown, I was very lucky in that I could, you know, I went online and I did courses in songwriting and production, and it was just huge rewards for me to see, to hear the results of it and see it in front of me. And that's something that I did that kept me going. But I think similarly, everybody should have, you know, we're all born with dreams, and dreams that come upon us as we grow up. And I think if you're courageous and brave enough to step out of your comfort zone, that's where the fruit is. It's outside the comfort zone. And that's uncomfortable, but it takes bravery and courage to walk with fear. That's what I always say. Courage is bravery and fear combined with action, because everyone's going to be afraid doing something new. Everyone, don't care who you are. There's always an element of fear when you're trying to do something new. And if you recognize that and have courage, even if you fall on your face, at least you're falling in a forward direction and not in behind. Do you know what I mean?
And that's, it's that reaching out. That's the hard part for some people to try and chalk the jigsaw today. And equally, in my experience sometimes in life, if you know someone is struggling, and you know that they're not the type of person who likes talking, it's also difficult for you to try and coax them out.
Mm. Yeah.
So it's like this, it really does take two people, I suppose, to one, the person who wants to try and be that friend and be the support and just be able to listen, but also to convince that person, you can trust me what you want to say, but I really would like to hear it.
Absolutely. I think, you know, I find if you're vulnerable around a person that's vulnerable, sometimes they'll open up. Because, look, we've all had moments in our life where we've been, you know, vulnerable. I think if you actually share that with the person in the moment while they're there, they may want to open up, they may not want to open up. There's only so far you can go. There's a famous saying, you know, did I control it? Can I cure it? Or did I create it? And if the answer is no to all three of them, well, then sometimes it's not your responsibility. You can be a friend. You can be there for somebody and you can sit there and tell them your story. I do find identification is a big thing. When you actually open up to a person and go, you know what, over lockdown, I felt like this. I had a moment, which I did myself. I had the grief, just grief hit me because I was always on the run. Here I am on the run again down in the airport. But I had grief come at me because I was still. And it was actually really good, but really hard. It was bittersweet, is all I can say. It was like I was getting almost like a kaleidoscope of images, memories, just all in one big blast for about 3 days. And it was like whatever I was running from had finally come to catch me. And I have a mentor, and I called him and said, I'm going mad. And he laughed and said, no, you know, that's actually really good. If you can sit with it, you'll come out the other side and you'll feel amazing. And he was right. But I was able to call him. Do you know what I'm, see what I'm saying?
I reached
out to someone and said, listen, this is what's going on. Is this okay? And I think everyone should have someone that they can do that with and be vulnerable, because we're all human.
And I think it makes total sense. From probably 06, 07 to last year, in between albums and maybe a little bit of downtime, but you were essentially in a band whirlwind that,
oh yeah,
you couldn't be a normal person, yeah. I suppose. So
no, I mean, you know, what's a normal person?
yeah, well,
I know, but I mean, as in 2 feet on the ground in the one place for more than a week,
yeah.
No. I mean, I was only saying that to my friend yesterday. I said, you know, I had spent the most time in my house in the last year than I had in 13 years. I was never there. Big sacrifices were made to do what we did. And listen, I love my job and I love being a musician. I love music more now than I did before the lockdown. And that's a fact. Because now I'm just, in terms of creation and creativity, I just took a big jump. There was like, I was missing a piece of the jigsaw and I managed to find it during lockdown. So for me, it was real revelation, and I was like, I had the time though to go looking for that, and I utilized it to make, because I thought, you're not going to get this time again to try and dig deep and figure out what it is, what the next step is. And for me, it was amazing. But yeah, our whirlwind, I think it's only now that we've stopped and you get a chance to breathe and look at it, we're like, whoa, that was, you know. And even coming back into it, me and Danny were talking about it, we're like, God, we've got to get ready now to speed our energy back up into this pace again. And the last 2 weeks have been that. It's been funny, just, you know, what my body's been doing. But I'm feeling absolutely amazing. I've got bionic arms because I got stem cells in them in Las Vegas, and I'm playing like a 20-year-old again. It's fantastic.
Well, wow. Glenn, it's brilliant. You mentioned that the music was the piece of the jigsaw, and you're our piece of the jigsaw today for Jigsaw.
Brilliant. Very good.
To talk to you again.
No problem, guys. I hope I made some sense. I have no idea if I did or not.
You did.
Take comfort that you did. And last year, the comments and reaction to your chat, and I'm sure it'll be exactly the same today. Yeah. And it's just the difference is now we're able to play a new song from you and to say that there's a gig next year in Dublin, or maybe even a few. And, you know, it's great to see you back. But
I just want to wish everybody out there well. I really do. Everybody out there that's, you know, who's out there and has dealt with the COVID and gone through the separation, the isolation. I just want to say, you know, I want to send everyone love and really hope that everyone's doing well. And if they're not, really get in touch, you know, pick up a phone to Jigsaw, talk to the people there. They know what they're doing. There's always someone you can listen to, but just have someone. Once you have someone in your corner and you know they're there, that's half the battle. I really do believe that because, as a guy told me years ago, a problem shared is a problem halved. It's true.
Amen.
Thanks, Glenn.
Thanks, guys. Great to talking to you guys. Have a great day, boys.
Safe travels.
Go and have
you.
A nice cup of tea.
That's what I'm doing now. I'm going to find the lads. Take it easy, lads.
Good luck. This is Strawberry Alarm Clock at 7:04 with the script.
Thanks to Glenn for taking the time. That's I Want It All, their new tune.
FM 104's Mind Your Noggin Day.
So, a little while ago, we announced that we have stuck a bike in one of our other studios because Jigsaw are doing a Revolution Challenge all this month, and you can jump on your own bike and raise some much-needed funds for Jigsaw. So we thought we'd do the same. Now, Dara, who was on a little while ago, Dara got up to 40 kilometres.
Fair play, Dara. That's amazing.
He was sweating.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to do it because it's too much pressure now.
Fair play, Dara, man.
So if you want me to sweat like a lunatic at 11 o'clock-ish, I will, but we need some money. Let's go over to Crossy and see who is on the bike right now.
Thanks, lads. We're getting on really well down here. Don't forget, you can donate fm104.ie/donate. Emma is now on her bike. Emma, tell us how many kilometres you have done so far.
Dara did an incredible 35 kilometres this morning. I have added 8.5 to that now, trying to get to 10, but I don't think I'll be able to walk for the weekend.
I've never seen someone so glamorous on a bike before, ever. Tell us who's on your show today.
Oh my God, so many people. Ella Henderson will be joining us. We've got Carrie on later on. We have Deirdre Ray. So many amazing people who've used Jigsaw services as well. It's going to be lit. If I can breathe by then.
I would love if someone's just tuning in right now and just hears Emma going, and I've got this one, and I've got this one, and I've got this one. Don't forget fm104.ie/donate, and it's back to you in the studio.
Thanks, Crossy. Keep them coming in.
It's 9:48.
fm104.ie/donate. And if you are driving and you forget, remind yourself to do it later, yeah?
fm104.ie/donate. And thank you to the many, many of you who have done already so far this morning.
We know
we're
who
doing
we are.
This right until midnight tonight.
Thanks for listening to FM 104's Strawberry Alarm Clock podcast. Listen daily and don't forget to subscribe to get the latest episode straight to your device.
1-800-Flowers.com is more than your birthday, anniversary, or just because gift-giving destination. We put our hearts into everything we do to help you celebrate all life's special occasions with friends and family. From our farmers and bakers, florists and makers, everything from 1-800-Flowers is made with love every step of the way. Because we know that nothing is more important than delivering a smile. To learn more, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.